passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Griff joins us in a couple of minutes, who do not go anywhere. Shirley is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Shirley.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. I hope everyone is doing well today.
We be in.
Very good. Thank you. I wish to comment, Mr. Feinbaum, on a particular caller, and this is a particular focus that I have never taken. I have heard several of your callers express discontent and disapproval regarding comments made by a gentleman, if he might be referenced as such, that refers to himself as AC from Bangladesh.
Right.
What I would like to communicate to your viewers is that I have known several persons and families from Bangladesh. They have been, without a question, some of the most hospitable, the nicest, the most enduring, and the most unforgettable persons that I have ever come to know in my journey through life. And I would hope that the viewers and listeners would not think for a moment that all persons from that particular area of the Indian subcontinent are, as this person expresses himself, if he is even in fact from Bangladesh.
Shirley, I don't believe the guy's ever left Paterson, New Jersey myself.
Neither do I, Mr. Feinbaum.
Well, it was a...
But if he has not, he is casting aspersion upon a historically challenged population that have dealt with great political and geographical upheavals. During the birth of their nation, around the time of 1970, 1971, from East Pakistan, 500,000 of them died in one night from the Bola cyclone that hit the coast of the Indian subcontinent.
No, you're right. It was a terrible time, and there were a lot of people that worked very hard, including musicians, as I'm sure you know, to raise money for Bangladesh. Probably the first famous charity concert George Harrison put on, a concert for Bangladesh. I believe it was in August of 1971, which featured Ravi Shankar and many others from that world. Hey, thank you very much, Shirley. Appreciate the historical lesson on Bangladesh. We go from there to Expired in Texas.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We're doing great. Expired.
Hey, been real busy this week, so I've been kind of in and out of the truck listening. But basically, it's been rather quiet. Porker Nation hasn't said a whole lot.
No.
You know, this summer and all through the fall, those guys were boasting all kinds of stuff, and now they're real, real quiet. I don't know if they're in a big pot of pot roast or what's going on. Pork chops are cut wrong. I don't really know what's going on.
We have that group of hoggy callers that always talk smack, especially this week. I mean, this is a game that they really take seriously.
Well, they play the game, Paul. I don't know if they take it seriously because they never beat us. But but I am kind of wondering, like, hey, guys, are you in hiding? You should be talking trash to Expired. Expired knows that it's going to be a good game. It's always a good game, but don't, you know, you guys figure out a way to lose. You know, and we're playing with our backup quarterback, who's pretty damn good. But just kind of wondering where those guys are at. And, you know, maybe we need to call the Hogs. So what? Call the Hogs. Pork, 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 burnt pork. We're going to kick y'all's ass. Have a great day, Paul.
Thank you. Always great to hear some trash talk on a Thursday. And Larry in South Carolina is up next. Hey, Larry. Larry is up next. Larry is no longer up next. Tom is up next. Good afternoon, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller. I had two things. One is I wanted to thank you for the way you handled that Ohio caller yesterday. You gave him a lesson in respect.
Thank you.
The second thing I have is a story about Lou Holtz and Ohio State. I grew up in West Virginia and then was living in Dayton, Ohio, and I was a Big Ten fan and, of course, an Ohio State fan. Then I got a job in South Carolina, my first exposure to SEC sports. And, of course, I became a Gamecock fan and an SEC fan. And then we got Lou Holtz as our head coach. And as they say, the cupboard was bare, and he was winless his first season. Well, he got an inquiry from a Troy High School in Ohio, a young man, Randy Brewer. And in the message he left for Holtz, he let him know he was Mr. Ohio Football. And Randy was never recruited by Ohio State or any Big Ten school. He was deemed too short, too slow. He had a couple of inquiries from MAC schools. But Holtz, listening to this message, immediately got on the phone, told the kid he was bringing him down for a campus visit, offered him a scholarship. And that next year, the Gamecocks improved to the point that they received their first New Year's Day bowl game bid. And who do you think it was against?
Oh, yeah.
Ohio State. And Randy Brewer was the outstanding player of the game, 3 touchdowns, and they beat him. And the next year, they went back to the Outback Bowl against Ohio State again and beat them again. Great story from Mr. Holtz.
Tom, that is fantastic. I'd forgotten that story. Appreciate the call from Montana. We will take a break. Grifter is up next. He'll give us the latest on the Dogs' visit to Auburn and a few other SEC morsels. Mike Griffith coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, Save. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Okay, this is the moment of the week when we find out what's happening in the SEC, and nobody better to welcome here than the grifter. Mike Griffiths joining us. Well, Mike, great to see you. I no longer have questions for this segment. I just kind of throw the ball to you and go out and get some coffee.
Well, I mean, the question is, how much of a number one is Georgia football? And you're going to find that out on Saturday when they play at Auburn. Auburn is, I know what the record says this year. I know what last week's final score said, but you're going to Jordan-Hare Stadium and you take a look at the all-time wins and losses and winning percentage. And this is the second hardest stadium in the SEC to win at, only behind Bryant-Denny Stadium. Obviously, I covered Auburn in the 1990s. I was there when Terry Bowden and the Auburn Tigers had a, you know, 20-game streak there that now Georgia has matched with 20 consecutive wins going into this game against the Tigers, trying to find out how Carson Beck, first-year starter, how does he respond in his first road game against a team in Auburn that, you know, may not have the players. It's not like Hugh Freeze can pick up the phone and call in great players in 1 year. It's going to take time for them to recruit. But this is a team that I thought battled Texas A&M really hard into the third quarter, and a team that can run the ball pretty well. So this is an interesting matchup where I'm going to get a lot of questions answered about the Georgia Bulldogs.
Already questions here, and I didn't know how to answer the gentleman, so I'll ask you. He's not happy with Mike Bobo, the caller is. So what's going on there?
Well, he should probably take a look at Mike Bobo's supporting cast this year versus what Georgia had last year. I mean, it's not fair to compare Stetson Bennett to Carson Beck when they were working with different receivers and running backs. I mean, you know, we can go down the list, Paul. I mean, Kenny McIntosh was over 1,000 total yards, didn't drop a pass, caught everything out of the backfield, great open field runner. Darnell Washington was the Shaquille O'Neal of tight ends, 6'8" and 270 pounds. He could cave in one side of the line. Very difficult matchup. Adonai Mitchell, he's now at Texas catching touchdown passes, explosive X receiver. And Ladd McConkey, Georgia's best wide receiver last year, hasn't played this year. And, oh, by the way, you had a first-round left tackle in Broderick Jones. So this year's supporting cast does not equal last year's for Carson Beck. And we'll find out if Ladd McConkey comes back, Paul. I think Ladd is probably the most important of the injured players, and it has been a laundry list. It's been the most injured team of Kirby's tenure. I think you may see Ladd in some certain packages, perhaps if the back injury holds up, and that would certainly bring a different dynamic and give Carson Beck one more great option to go to.
Talking to Mike Griffith, Mike, let's journey around the SEC. What, other than the Dogs, the team you cover, you also cover the SEC. What struck you this week? What's burning in your mind?
Well, I mean, Florida's got a chance to make history. And anytime we're talking about the Florida Gators in history, everyone's ears perk up because there's a rich history. In fact, you were part of a documentary. The Swamp Thing documentary, is that what that was right?
That was correct.
About the
07-08.
Yeah, Swamp Kings. It was really good. Oh, Swamp Kings. So they won 22 games in a row, and Georgia's chasing that. Well, now they have a chance to make a different sort of history because Florida hasn't lost three times in a row to Kentucky since Paul Bear Bryant was head coach in 1951. In fact, you've got to go back to 1976, I think, when Kentucky had won back-to-back, which they've done going into this game, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, Florida going to Kentucky for a noon kickoff. This is, you know, what if they lose? And I actually looked this up because I didn't normally look at the Florida game notes. Paul, do you realize that Florida has not beaten an SEC East opponent outside of Ben Hill Griffin Stadium since the COVID year? They've lost 7 in a row against SEC East teams outside of their home stadium. This is remarkable. I don't remember. So when people say, well, why are you picking? I'm not picking on them. This is, you know, dog bites man, not news. Man bites dog, news. And for Florida to be this sort of a loser, this is news because this was a very rich and celebrated program that all of us enjoy. We all have fond memories of Florida, Paul, whether it's trips to Walt Disney World or the beach or the wonderful sunshine. But what's happened here with this nuclear winter for Florida football, This is a big game. And Mark Stoops, by the way, this is a big game for him too. I mean, he's already passed Paul Bear Bryant and wins there Big season. You know, he is the longest tenured FBS Power 5 coach to have never won his division. So Mark Stoops also trying to do something this season, and he's got to get by the Gators first, and then he'll have an opportunity to roll into Sanford the following week.
Yeah, but it, I mean, you act like all is lost for the Gators. The ones I talked to, and I'll see some more tomorrow, yeah, they seem pretty happy with you know, the big win over Tennessee. There's momentum. Their recruiting trail is looking good. There's a big quarterback in the pipeline. The only thing they're puzzled by, Mike, is your appearances here on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're right, Paul, and I actually did some thinking, and they're right. You know, Billy Napier is a really good person, and I kind of took him to task for maybe not being a little bit more motivational and fiery, and I want to take a step back from that, because I was being hypocritical. I think you have to look at the person, and, you know, Billy's a guy that does his best, and I think this is a really good human being and a good person who tries to do everything the right way, and I really applaud his efforts. And so, you know, I'm with the Florida fans. You know, it's important that you have a good person coaching your team with very genuine interest and goes about things the right way. So I fully support that. I know the rest of the league really supports Billy Napier, and I'm sure they'll be fine as long as he's there. I think everyone will support that because he is a very good person, Paul.
What else matters? I watched Hugh Freeze the other day. He was talking about love, and I just think the commentators on this network need to start.
Well, football's the language of love at Auburn, I guess. I don't know. It's Hugh Freeze. I'll just leave it at that. But we will say that he is a coach that is very well respected by Kirby Smart. And I speak Kirby, right? Like, you got to speak Kirby. You got to really listen hard between the lines. And when Kirby said that he respects everybody, right? First of all, he respects every opponent. Kirby's got some old school in him, and that's just how he goes about it. There's an inherent respect for the game and therefore the opponent. But when he said Hugh has answers, right, and Kirby would know, because Hugh has beat a Kirby Smart coach team before. And so Kirby knows of what he speaks. Now, he probably also knows that Hugh may not have enough players yet to beat the Georgia Bulldogs. But he does have the scheme, and he does have the coaching know-how, and he does have the staff. There are some very important, vital pieces in place. Of course, we've seen, you know, Auburn has a propensity to blow up a lot of coaches that have done quite well. I mean, Terry Bowden with the 20 wins, you know, an undefeated season. And what do they say about him? And my goodness, Tommy Tuberville, he had an undefeated season too. And he's, my goodness, he's had to go all the way down into politics now, right?
I mean, Tuberville's last game was a 38-0 loss to Alabama. Let's not
My point is they have had good coaches do good things before. I mean, Gene Chizik and obviously coach, some of his finest work was on this network, by the way. I really enjoyed his breakdowns. I was selfishly sad to see him go back into coaching because he did such a tremendous job on the SEC network. But my point is Auburn has had very good coaches before. But I think it takes a little bit more than just good coaches. Now, I did see, and I'm really excited that I'm going to get to see this, that the 1983 Auburn team is going to be honored. And Pat Dye, to me, was a fantastic coach. And not only that, Pat Dye moved mountains with his ability to get the Alabama-Auburn game back on the Auburn campus. And that meant so much to the community. It meant so much to the Auburn Tigers. And I'm going to tell you, I think Kirby Smart really looks up to Pat Dye. I know there was a mutual respect there. I had a chance to talk to Coach Dye before he passed. And he was a big proponent of Georgia getting that Florida game back in Athens when it's their year. And you know, Pat Dye played at Georgia. So the Kirby Smart, Pat Dye, the respect level, and the fact that Georgia's going to be there when they honor Coach Dye, this is one of those really cool SEC Saturdays.
Speaking of cool, perhaps the biggest game of the weekend is in Oxford. Lane Kiffin has been noticeably quiet on Twitter this weekend. Your takeaway from
I'm consulting my notes. I confess I had to write this down because I didn't believe it. This may be the most damning note of Lane Kiffin yet, and that says quite a bit if you know Lane Kiffin very well. Lane Kiffin, 1-19. Okay, you ready for this stat? 1-19 against Power 5 teams that finish with 9 wins. He's won one game in his 12-year head coaching career over a Power 5 team that finished a season with 9 wins. And what does that tell you? And that was back in 2011, Oregon. I don't even know who's coaching that. Back in 2011, 12 years. So certainly Alabama, we know they're going to win. How big was it, Paul? You know, look, we were all front and this. I was guilty as anyone. I said, oh my gosh, look at this. Is this the end? And Nick Saban, is Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin going to take them down? Lane is trying to hype this game. He's doing all of his Twitter tricks with the dog on Twitter and all his comedy and propping this game up. And he can't wait. And all the Ole Miss players think they've got Bama right where they want him. And what did Saban do with those halftime adjustments? The Crimson Tide absolutely slammed the door in Lane's face and said, not this time, Lane. You're not ready. Go back to Oxford where you don't beat anybody that's relevant. And so Nick Saban is still front center. Bama is still the favorite in the West. It reminds me, like I said, of that number three car and the great Dale Earnhardt. It drives on. It's still in everybody's rearview mirror. It's clouding everyone's. Everyone's afraid of Nick Saban. It's not over yet, Paul. Nick Saban made a stand in Tuscaloosa. That was a really big win.
So what does this game mean for Lane Kiffin against Brian Kelly Saturday night?
Is anybody watching? Is anybody paying? Are they doing something fun at the stadium, I guess? They're going to do – that's great. I mean, it's going to be pretty. Okay. What does that mean? I guess if you think that if you believe that LSU is going to win 9 games this year, then Lane's got a chance to win a game of significance. Otherwise, it's just another year. And everybody's – let's be clear. Everybody's happy about this. You know, Ole Miss can win. It's kind of like Kentucky. It's kind of the Kentucky of the West. Just go win 8 or 9 games and don't make a scene, all right? And everybody's just, let's just go on with it. 8 or 9 win team. LSU's trying to get something done. And I will say, I was a little surprised to see Sam Pittman and the Hogs take LSU that deep under the, you know, the feared Tiger Stadium. Oh, my gosh, so scary that you needed a field goal to beat a 500 Arkansas team. I mean, I'm a little wondering if LSU's a little suspect. And, you know, I champion Brian Kelly. I've championed that hire, and Notre Dame's winning his coach. You know, I guess all you got to be able to do up there is put 11 guys on the field to win games, and Brian Kelly does that. So let's see what happens with LSU and Ole Miss. Let's see if LSU continues to march towards Tuscaloosa, towards what looks to be the showdown for the SEC West. Not going to count on A&M yet. You know, there was a kid there by the name of Max Johnson now that's playing quarterback for A&M, and he played his high school football less than a mile from where I'm standing. And he's a pretty good quarterback, and I think A&M is a team to watch, and I think Alabama's got to travel there. So there's still a little drama out there in the West Division, and I think if LSU can beat Ole Miss, they'll continue their march, and we'll see if A&M can take care of business. And certainly Alabama, I think they've won 15 in a row in Starkville. I think they'll probably silence those cowbells early.
The Grifter joining us here on Thursday afternoon. We will see you next week. We might actually see you next week. We'll take a short break and be back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are continuing here, and we hope that you'll give us a call at 855-242-7285. Derek is up next in California. Derek, we haven't spoken to you in a while. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Yeah, I've kind of been traveling a little bit, so I kind of missed the broadcast and everything, but I'm just touching base back with you again, you know, and seeing you on Saturdays, you know, with the nation. But I just called to talk about a few things, you know. First of all, I want to discuss, you know, the interview sections with Kirby and with Breeze. their facial expressions and their body language are totally different. You can check it out for yourself. Everybody's listening or whatever. But you need to be more energetic, and then the team will come out more energetic. I noticed that when a first-year coach comes to a team, it's hard to compose the team or get it like you want it, especially if you don't have a really good quarterback. So everybody's not going to be like LSU, because Jaden was already seasoned and ready. Of course, he was running a lot the first year. If you look back on prior film on him over ASU, they didn't have a front line either, so he had to take off. But he won most of the games. But now LSU has, you know, front line season, 2 years in it. Then they got another, you know, the team's coming together. So my point with that is that BK, Brian Kelly, came into a team and got with a team that had a good quarterback coming to the team. So they both had to work together to make it work, and it did last year. This year, it's going to be the same way. They're going to come together, and they're going to run over Ole Miss and anybody else that comes up in there. I called the show last year, and I was like, hey, y'all just don't know Jaden yet. Jaden has a good support system. You know, he's a good guy, and he can play ball. Of course, he needed to make some – he made some mistakes or whatever. You
know,
but
Derek,
was,
I forgot to mention, for those who don't know, we've gotten to know Derek. Derek is Jaden's uncle, so that's why he has all this information.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I've been watching him all his life. Junior All-American, Pop Warner, high school. He's good. He's a good kid. So that's why I'm saying that, because I hear the broadcasters not really – you know, they talking about this guy and that guy, Colorado, this, that, the other. But Jaden's the truth. And I'm just putting it out there, and LSU. I'm just putting it out there so that, you know, I don't hear much talk about LSU. I watch the show since I got back every day. And also, people call in and be saying different stuff, this, that, and the other. Of course, this is America, and we weren't try to bash any Americans, but you look at some of the Americans bashing other Americans. So I don't really. We got to, you know, do what we say and say what we do. But anyway, I just wanted to call and see a few words to pump up LSU, because I'm strictly a LSU SEC fan now. Of course, Jaden was playing on the playing in the Pac-12, but now I got a dog in the fight, which is LSU. So I just want to pump up all the LSU fans, you know, get behind Jaden, support him, give him that love, and this weekend is gonna be all right.
Derek, listen,
look out too.
Give our best to Jaden, and thanks so much for sharing that. Jaden Daniels' uncle calling us from California as LSU heads to Oxford this week. Augie is up next in New Orleans.
Well, Paul, let me tell Derek this. Without Jaden Daniels, we wouldn't have won a game last year with that offensive line. And this year, I don't know, I think Nussmeier's ready, but he's not Daniels yet. Hopefully he will be, but tell Derek we thank you and Jaden for coming over and saving us. And I'm sure Brian Kelly is praying to him on his knees. But, Paul, what do you think about Mike Griffith's act of contrition?
It's about as sincere as a Washington politician.
and you know, you listen to your show, and every day you learn something new. Today, geopolitical primer in Bangladesh. Never thought I would even hear the words Bangladesh at the Paul Feinbaum show. But today we had a whole history lesson, so I thank you for that. And anybody who takes anything AC has for any kind of worth, they need help, Paul. They need some counseling. We got to get them counseling. And I do want to say, great interview again with Wilson Alexander earlier this week. the guy is, in my opinion, the guy you need to go to for LSU football. Great analysis. But, Paul, it's Thursday, and I'm looking forward to the provocatively simple, non-controversial, and clearly obvious picks of the man known as the Buffoon from Baltimore, the Sports Information Director of the Alabama Department of Corrections, the Oracle of the Obvious, the man Cat Daddy buried yesterday, and that is Leg End. I want to see what his picks are. I want to know what obvious picks he's going to make. Remember the kid who was picking football games by picking plastic helmets off the floor?
Yes.
I think that was Laura's daughter, right? Well, she was way more compelling in her picks than this guy is. And he jumped all over Griffin, what, a week or so ago? He was all over him calling him Fred Flintstone. Remember that?
Yes.
I mean, it's really insulting when one who served the sentence is disparaging one who served. And as far as Griff goes, I think Griff is great. But the thing, Paul, I think we're well into the season. We still don't know who the team is in the West. When's the last time we got this deep in a season without having one or possibly two really strong contenders? Because at this point, I don't think we really know where it's going to end up.
No, and Saturday night is probably going to eliminate someone in Oxford. Griff tried to make a case for A&M. They're still alive. We've had LSU and Alabama, but there are a lot of combinations out there.
Well, this year you can't say it's going to definitely be
no.
LSU or Alabama. I mean, LSU could fold this weekend. Alabama could get beat somewhere down the road. It's possible A&M might be the team. Who knows? But I think it goes to show the state of dominance in the SEC West. So looking forward to it, Paul. Hopefully I'm not crying on Monday, calling for Brian Kelly's head. And, oh, by the way, I'm waiting to interview him, and I'm going to ask him grilling questions when you give me that opportunity.
I think he may be back with us Monday, assuming they win. I'm not taking
the softball approach because I've got no dog in the game. If he cuts me off, who cares?
You got it. We're up against a break. More to come. More phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back. Great to have everyone here. And Larry is up next. Good afternoon, Larry.
What's up, Feinbaum?
Hey there.
Yeah, man. I'm going to ask you something. This LSU thing in Augie, I don't know what I can't understand that guy. He's got to be a damn ambulance chaser. I mean, just listen to him talk. Blah, 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 blah. Meow, 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 meow. And I like Derek, but he's got that ESPN going on. And he's a good caller. He is. He got a lot of knowledge. But I want to ask you something. I'm worried about you, man. I really am.
What are you worried about?
You know why?
No.
I'll tell you why, Paul. Have you got insurance, life insurance?
Do I have life insurance?
Do you have insurance for injuries and stuff?
I've got a small policy. Just
you better get quadruple indemnity.
Yeah.
Tell you that. I was watching, and you going around there with them alligators stuck, and you was about 4 inches getting your damn nose bit off. Now, who put you up to all this?
Well, I'll explain that. That happened when we were down there for the Alabama game 2 years ago. For those who have, it's on the lead-in. They had a gator on our table, and I put my nose down, thinking it might try to bounce at me. And I was not that I'm athletic, but I was ready to like move back quickly. I didn't realize. Do you know anything about gators?
Yeah, they snap on that nose.
Well, they do two things.
All them people out there. And they don't.
Well, afterwards, I had a guy that handles gators tell me, here's where I made my mistake. I thought you could just move your head back, but they do snap. But you know what they do? The first thing they do is run forward and grab your neck.
Yeah.
And then they snap.
And then you go get in a coffin. You don't know that damn thing ain't airtight. And I think somebody's
you're right. The coffin was more dangerous. I could have survived a gator bite. Do you think it would have been funny if they opened the coffin and I was dead?
You'd have to wear a sack on your head. But I'm just worried, man. You need to stay away from that stuff. We need you, Jack. But yeah. I want to say about this LSU thing, man. LSU ain't no good, Paul Feinbaum. Come on. They got just destroyed by Florida State. And then Arkansas ain't that good. And I don't know why you keep hanging on to the misrepresentation of this LSU gig. I mean, why are you doing that?
I remember LSU being pretty good in...
When?
Well, I vaguely remember, what was it, like November 5th last year when they beat your team?
Yeah, and then what good did it do them? I went against Georgia and got their ass kicked up on their shoulder. Somebody thought he was
They did something that the Roll Tiders didn't do. Do you think Alabama would have beaten Georgia?
They should have beat them. Come on, man. That stupid 2-point crap. That should have been the damn law. That ain't no sense in that crazy stuff. That's a goofy guy. What?
Well, Larry, after a while in overtime, would have had to gone for two anyway. They just got it out of the way quickly.
No, he pulled some crap on my man. I'm going to tell you, I ain't saying no revenge or nothing, but I'm going to tell you this. If I was Georgia against Auburn getting off LSU, if you'd have put them fire hoses in the right places where they couldn't reproduce, they wouldn't be out there running crazy. That's what I'd have done. I seen all that, the bulldog biting. I think they trained that dog to do that. I do.
Was the time the bulldog bit Robert Baker? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they some sadistical people out there, man, like you. They setting you up, Paul. They're trying to get somebody in that to take your place. I'm telling you, be careful now. You hear me?
So... You think they're trying to kill you? Do I understand you correctly, Larry? You think they're trying to kill me?
Yeah. So this crap. I think Randy's gonna. Yeah, I think Randy's trying to take your ass out because he wants to move in your place. To see how that works. Boom. Paul's gone. Hello, Randy. See there?
Hey, Keith. Have you heard Randy plotting my demise? That was hardly a denial over there, okay?
You get up in the face of a ferocious bulldog.
Hey, Larry, in the event that I perish, could I ask you, I know this is a big ask, but I will do the same thing for you. Would you mind saying a few words at my memorial service?
Hell, few. I'd have me about 24, brother, and I'd be talking all evening. Woo! Yeah, let's hit for Paul. You remember him, the guy with the big ears and the bald head. You know.
Well, I want you to speak, because I'm afraid they get a bunch of my colleagues, and they all get up there teary-eyed, and in the back they'd be celebrating.
Yeah, we wouldn't be hitting them, bud. Oh, what I mean, be smoking.
Larry, I am going to I am going to earmark a couple of dollars in my in my life insurance policy, which isn't much, to go to furnishing the alcohol at the funeral.
Yeah. I love you, man. You take love. You're all tied, baby.
You know what's great is that Alabama beats Ole Miss, something they've been doing every year but one or two in the entire history of the program. And Larry sounds like a new man, doesn't he? I mean, it's like this, he's been exorcised. The demons have been lifted from his spirit. And he's the old Larry, not the nervous Nelly Larry that he was after the Texas and South Florida game. I'm glad to hear it. Bama is back. Repeat after me. We are going to take a short break. We have one more hour to go. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.